Hey, what's up, you guys? This is your girl, Daily Talks with Angel, okay? I have a very, 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 very special guest with us today. He will be talking about his single that will be coming out very, very soon, okay? So this is a little different from what I would normally talk about. I haven't done a podcast like this in quite some time. Typically, we're always talking about relationships and different things or whatever like that. But I think it's also good to talk about, you know, different goals that we have, okay? Like with me, you know, I love doing my podcast. You guys know about my candy treat business and all that kind of stuff. Well, let's talk about something a little different. I have Mr. Corey D. McKnight on the phone. Tell the people hello.
Hello, good morning. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are in the world, good morning. How you doing, Angel?
I am doing great. Doing very, very great. And you guys, I have tried to get Corey to come on this podcast, and he is finally here. So I'm very grateful for that, okay? And just allowing for me to, you know, steal some of your time during the day.
Most definitely.
Okay. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Mr. Corey, where did you grow up?
Well, I was born and raised in Florida. I'm a Florida boy, all the way, full-hearted.
Okay.
And I lived in Gainesville. I was born in Gainesville. I moved to Jacksonville in probably about 87. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to, no, I take that back. I apologize. I sincerely apologize. I moved to Jacksonville in probably 79. And then I moved to Orlando in 87. And it has been a learning experience from growing up. I have three siblings. I have me. I'm in the middle. I have a younger sister and I have an older brother. So it's life growing up and moving from Florida. Now I'm in ATL. Okay. It's been definitely a little wild ride.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's Atlanta for you.
Okay, because it's a different beast up here.
Listen, when it's you said wild beast. Ride, Corey, all I could think about was the traffic.
Oh, okay.
definitely the traffic.
Even at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's definitely crazy. So I want to dig a little bit in your business. So are you single, married? What is the status with Mr. Corey?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm single. Mm-hmm. Am I ready to mingle? I'm getting to that point. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely in the market, if you will.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. Yeah, so however it goes is the way it's going to go. And whatever happens, we're going to let it do what it do.
I know that's right. Listen,
okay, because you can't. Hey, let me tell you one thing. Uh-huh. I know this young lady, and she's a really great friend of mine. And she told me, she says, charity begins at home. Mm-hmm. And that thing, when she told me that, that thing hit my heart so strong, and meaning that you got to love yourself before you let somebody else love you.
Oh, yeah.
So in that vein, I really delved into myself and really started taking responsibility of loving Corey.
Right.
Of loving Corey in every aspect of his being and every aspect of him, even if being a bigger guy right now in my life. I don't think I've ever weighed this much, but we're going to work on it. I'm going to be persistent and consistent.
Okay.
And start exercising more on a regular and get this weight down. I'm not happy about it, but it did happen. So, I mean, it's a part of life. It's ups and downs. And I never thought that I would be in this predicament, but I am. So we got to do what we got to do to make things happen so we can make other things happen. So life has been a journey, as I said before, with the aspect of like growing up and through the years and learning about who I am as a person and taking those things to make manifest the dreams that I have inside of me.
Right.
So that's where I stand with that, yeah.
That sounds good. So I just want to kind of like piggyback off of, well, when we talked about being single, I've been single for 2 years. So I definitely do understand that. And what your friend said is really the truth. I think sometimes when we are in relationships, we lose focus of ourselves. And we try to satisfy that person. You know what I mean?
And
too given. That's what I would say. Very, very, just always being very too given and, you know, just, I mean, it's their world. You know what I'm saying? It's their world and you just pretty much live in it. And that's just pretty much how it was for me. And not just my last relationship, but in most of my relationships. And I learned to say, you know what? Fuck that. You know, I'm going to take my life back.
Hello, put the exclamation on that.
Yeah. I'm going to take my life back. You know, I'm going to do what it is that I want to do and just, you know, live for Angel. And that's what I did. So, you know, you have some people that say, girl, you worse than Lori Harvey. No, my relationship actually lasts a little bit longer than for Lori Harvey. I just know my worth. You know what I'm saying? And I know my worth now.
Right.
So with that being said, I don't let nobody play about me. Like, I've been single long enough to know what it is that I like, what it is that I don't like, what I will tolerate, what I won't tolerate. And if I don't like it, I don't have to deal with you. So, yeah, that
Hello.
I do understand. Yeah. And then as
that far, is the truth.
Yeah. And then as far as the whole weight gain, let me tell you something, okay? I was so used to being small. Like, and I get, you know, as you get older, you're going to put on weight, this and then the third. But
right.
I'm just, I like my weight, but I don't like my weight. There are certain things I want to change. You know what I'm saying? So when I hear you say, you know, you want to take those steps and go into the gym. Corey, I got on a treadmill. Nothing told me I was going to be on there for 30 minutes. I almost cried. Because I'm just not. I've never had to be active. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I never had to do anything to lose anything because I never had anything to lose. But once I started having kids, I mean, even after I had my third baby, I went back to being small, which is crazy.
Right.
You know, but I have to show you, share a picture with you one day. But yeah, I went back to being small. And it's like after my fourth one, it was like pow, 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 pow. And baby, we here to stay. So what you going to do to, you know what I'm saying, to get some of this weight off? So, you know, it'll happen because I've seen people transition a lot.
Right.
And if they can do it, we can do it. We just gotta.
We got this. We got this. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'll be here for you if you need a little accountability partner. You know, I'll slide into your text message or send you a little Facebook message or something, so I can make sure you stand on track. And you can do that to me too because it's needed. It's needed. I was such an adamant person that exercised and did so much in the movement aspect of life, and I took a turn.
Yeah.
And things started to happen, and maybe you'll be able to ask me a question concerning what that was, and I can get a little bit into that. So,
well, yeah, I mean, go ahead. You pretty much opened that door, so let us in.
Okay, so, back in 1999 to 2002, I drove across the country from Florida to California with my mother. And I went out to California. I was looking to be in the entertainment business. But I really believe that the source of all life, God, the creator, energy, whatever you want to call him, he had other plans. And when I moved out there, my mama said, if that's what you want to do, I'm going to go with you.
Okay.
So we drove together, got over there. She stayed 3 days. I stayed one day where she was staying at, where my aunt and uncle. And then I drove over to L.A. Didn't have no friends, didn't know nobody. Just when I had went out there earlier that year in the summer and then decided I was going to move out there later in 99. So in doing so, make a long story short, fast forward, I get to 2001. My mother finds out that she had a lump in her breast, and she had breast cancer. And so they went and had a surgery to remove the breast. And that was the day of 9/11. She woke up and she says, "What is this movie I'm watching?" She thought it was a movie. And then my brother and my dad were at the hospital with her. And she told Hannah, or he told her, that that's not a movie, that's going on right now. And I was just like, okay, I didn't know anything about this. Like, I was in the dark. I was so focused on doing what I was doing in California that I didn't know all the ins and outs of what was going on with my mother at the time. Yeah. So then fast forward again, 2002, February of 2002, I moved back to Orlando. I left everything. I left my car. I left my suitcases. I left everything that I've ever had brought with me, and then some, in California. Wow. And it was hard because I had to start all over. And I wasn't expecting to be in Florida for long, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, see my mom, take care of her, do some loving on her, and see and make sure everything was okay. Lo and behold, fast forward to September 19th in 2002, my mother passed. And yeah, it got deep. It got really deep. And the crazy thing about it, I thought I found love when I was in California. So that was another thing on top of it. And February of 2003, I went into the mental health hospital, because I had a big, giant breakdown. It was probably one of the most intense things I've ever experienced in my life. And after my mom passed, and the funny thing about it, like, I was okay.
Yeah.
And then everything switched. I'm talking about, it was a 180 about face. Everything in my life just went crazy. And I didn't know what was going on. I was seeing things and hearing voices and really depressed. They've labeled me with schizophrenia, bipolarism, and depression. So, I mean, I get it. I take my meds every day. I try to stay on top of my game. And some days it's harder than others. And I try to do my best to uplift others and try to stay out of my own focus on Corey.
Yeah.
Because when I do that, I feel like I get more into a hole. And taking the time out to encourage somebody else or give a positive word or just take a time out to say a prayer with somebody, something, do something that uplifts somebody else to get you out of your own funk, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm right there right now in my life. And I've been doing this practice for... it's been almost, this is 22 years.
Okay.
It's been 22 years since that big episode. And during all that time, I was in and out of mental health hospitals for maybe about 4 times. And they were growth experiences. And every time I was getting a little bit stronger. And then you know how the doctors, they like to put you on all this medication. I stuck to one medication for like umpteen years. And when I got to Atlanta, the doctors changed my medicine. And I was willing to take that leap of faith to see if something else would work. Because they would say it would stop the voices, it would stop this, it would stop this, and this, and this, and this. Up your... depression, you want to have depression. So I was like, okay, that's fine. Let's try something new. So I did try the new medicine, and things have been pretty much a little bit better. I would say pretty much better in the overall scope of things. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. So I'm level-headed. I'm not out there or crazy anything. I like to have fun.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I like to have fun.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
No, and just to start from that, you know, I hate that, you know, you went through those things. I think a lot of people You know, you get to a point where you just, you know, be pretty much like at your lowest and things starts to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Especially when you don't have nobody you can really, really talk to about certain things. And it's not that we don't have anybody to talk to. You don't trust
anybody. Hello.
You can come, you know what I'm saying? Because
hello, that's true for a gabbing.
And whether it's friends or family, you know, family can be way worse than friends at times. So, you know, you balled all these things up until you can't hold them no more. And it drives you insane. You know what I'm saying?
Hello.
So it's crazy because I talked on my podcast about a time where, you know, I had a mental breakdown. And I'm going to just share with you.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, it was at a point where, like, I'm a mom. I'm a single mom. I like to tell people I'm a single mom by choice because, you know, it's not like, you know, I had kids and then, you know, it whatever. But I need to be by myself. I moved out and have my own place, whatever. But I don't think people really realize it is a lot being a mom and working two jobs. And,
right.
You know, I don't get food stamps. So, like, I have all this money pouring out. Like, I have money pouring in, but it's more money being poured out. And
right.
I'm so tired. I literally feel like there's bricks that I'm carrying on my back every day. And trying to make it to the top of that mountain along with four kids behind you. Okay? And there's nobody there to help. That is a lot. And you still have to keep this smile on your face. You still have to have energy to give to your kids. You don't want to. Well, I didn't want my kids to worry. I didn't want my kids to feel like, oh, well, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen? Like, they don't know nothing. The only thing that my kids know is they come in here in a warm place, you know, in a cool place. You know, they have food. They can, you know, say, Mom, we want to eat this. And they can get that. Or I need this. And it's there. It's given to them. They don't know what I have to do to get all of this stuff. And it just got to a point where it just got so overwhelming. I was at a job where I extremely hated. You know, even though it paid well, but I hated that job. And I'm just like, this is just not life. Like, this is not life. And having to work two jobs, you know, now I'm having time that I used to spend with my kids stripped away from me. So now it's like I'm going back. Because at the beginning, when I first had my youngest two, I worked two jobs. And I missed out on most of the things, like their first walk and different things like that. Now it's like about myself being right back where I was. Now they're older. And that killed me. And I'm like, no. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that. So it was that on top of just other things, you know, that I was going through at the time. And let me tell you, I tried to call my sister-in-law because she is like such a believer in God. She prays with you, for you, all that. And she was just the first person, one of the first person I was like, I need to call her because I'm about to lose it. And when I say lose it, I mean just break down, just cry, just scream, whatever. Well, I didn't even know what was going to come out, okay? I just knew I felt myself about to explode. And I was like, I need to call her. And I was calling her. She forwarded my call. And that look, just her forwarding my call, broke me. And something told me, play gospel music. Listen to gospel music. And I'm talking, at this point, I'm bawling. I'm crying. I'm like losing it. I'm crying. I'm trying not to cry loud because my son is not too far from my room, but I'm in here losing it. And I did what that voice said, and I listened to the music. But then she did text me, and she said, hey, I'm going to call you right back. But that wasn't enough. And to me, I think about when people are about to commit suicide, and they you don't want to. But it's like, let me try to reach out to somebody that can help, because at the same time, there is still a little hole that's open there where it's like, if that person come in at that time, they can catch you from doing whatever craziness you're going to do, right?
And right.
They end it right then and there, because the person that they wanted so much to talk to that could stop them from doing anything or just jumping overboard, they wasn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So whatever was going to consume you at that point, it did, if you allowed it. So I listened to that voice and I played my gospel music. She texts But I was like, if she calls, I'm gonna forward her, because now I'm comfortable. I felt like this feeling of warmth, love, calmness that literally came over me, and I knew it wasn't me, and I could feel that around me. Okay,
right.
I knew then. Okay, spirit, right? And so I texted her. I said, "Hey, I'm good." You know, and I was able to just listen to that music and just, like, get my mind back on a straight path and just start thinking of positive things. And I'm going to say all that to say, sometimes we keep trying to reach out to people that, you know, because we can hear their voice physically and we know we can touch them. God said, you're going to need me now. She's not going to answer the phone because now I got your attention. And that's all he wanted. Because I was so used to running into people, running in this and running in that, you know, because I can hear their voice. I can hear this. I can hear that. And God said, nope. Nobody's going to answer the phone. You're going to come to me. And that's what he did. Let me tell you something. Ever since that day on, I think I'm going to remember this for the longest. I mean, I got other stories too, but this right here really struck out because this literally happened last year, you know, coming into this year, beginning of this year. And once that happened, man, I was good. You can't tell me nothing. Even if some things are going wrong, I'm still going to, you know, stress out, feel the way I feel because we're human. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Know that he's there. He's never going anywhere. And all you got to do is just say, hey, this is what it is. You know, a lot of people like to say, man, you know, y'all only want to talk to him when you're going through stuff. He wants that. It doesn't matter if you talk to him every day or once in a while, whatever the case may be. The fact that he, show him that you need him, okay? Show him that.
Right.
I feel everybody have their own relationship with him. So he knows you. Right. He knows your heart. I think a lot of times people allow other people that just think they got it all and know it all to come in and say, you know, crazy stuff like that. But I used to always think like, what do you mean, you know, stop going to him when you need him and, you know, you should be needing him. Like, yeah, you know that. But at the same time, we're human. We all get lost in our own funk sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At the end of the day, that's what he wants. And once he showed me that, I was like, okay, yeah. Let me bounce that. But yeah, so let's not get too carried away. But I'm just letting you know, like, and you know, we have some type of similarities around that.
Right.
I do understand.
I appreciate
that.
You know, letting that out. And being vocal about it, because I never knew that about you. So, hey, you know, we all go through our stuff.
Listen, I'm telling you, but we get through it. That's the beautiful thing of it, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And we're able to share our story, because your story may open up to my story, you know, just because sometimes it used to be hard going back to remember that day because it was so, it was very dark, you know what I'm saying? And I would think about it and just get teary out and just feel a certain type of way, but it wasn't nothing to be down about. It was just really God saying, hey, I'm here. You're going to come to me this time. Nobody else. Okay. So, yeah, but yes. So, my next question to you is, when did you start singing? Like, when did you know you had that voice, that spark?
from a child, my mother and a lot of people in our family, they're musically inclined.
Okay.
Now, back in the day when I was living in Florida, my sister, she could sing. Like, she could really sing. And I give that to her. And everybody always called on her to come and do singing or do things of that nature. And I was like, okay, they ain't got to know about me. I'm going to keep it inside. I'm going to hold up. Wait a minute. But over time, it seemed as if the gift began to move and shift in my life. And I thought, I was like, wait a minute, okay, you can do this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. I'm not Luther Vandross or nothing like that, but I do
quarry.
Mean.
You got your own style, your quarry.
Exactly.
Yes.
That, exactly. Okay, come on. Uh-huh. Thank you, ma'am. Uh-huh. Thank you. I do me. And it's a mixture, it's eclectic, a mixture of like spoken word, rap, singing, just depending on the vibe of the song. Mm-hmm. And it's been quite interesting just to figure me out when it comes out to my voice and what I can do and my range and how high I can go or how low I can go. Mm-hmm. Just finding out those ins and outs has really been like a jigsaw puzzle, if you will. And so I'm putting those pieces together and writing music and getting my stuff together. And thank you for asking, because I'm planning on getting the album a little bit more solidified, if you will. Okay. So, and it's eclectic, if you will. As I said before, it's very eclectic. It's different kinds of, different styles, I should say, of music put all together. And they're harmoniously, like interwoven. So they make a seamless transition between each song. So it should be really cool. I'm really excited.
Right, no, I'm definitely excited for you. Listen, I love seeing people do exactly what it is they want to do, and you know, and actually enjoying what they do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When doing it. So yeah, I like that. Hey, you guys, we are back, and yes, I still have Mr. McKnight here with us. Okay. So my next question to you is, who is Corey? Like, if you had to describe, like, who is Corey?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you a little visualization. If I was to explain myself, it would be more or less like an onion. And to be exact, it'd be a sweet onion. And I have many layers, and if you cook it just right, it can go with just about anything. And you add your little salt and your little pepper, mm-hmm. little vinegar, and make them saute onions and make it go. You can throw that on top of a steak. You can put it on a burger. You can add it with some mushrooms and put it with a piece of fish. I mean, I really consider myself to be this kind of person that evolves through circumstances and situations to be a better version of myself. I really believe that Corey is kind-hearted and gentle. I'm going to say, like my niece used to say, I consider myself to be tamantic. Not romantic, but tamantic, because she couldn't say the R's when she was a little girl, so she called it tamantic. Yeah, so I consider myself to be tamantic. Just overall, I would say I'm a genuine guy. I don't like to fake the funk. I've been there with the head games and the disappointments of life coming at me, and I had to take them square on. So I'm just a general guy, just doing me. And learning about Corey from the inside out. And that's basically it in a nutshell.
Okay.
Saute
onions on top of that steak. I said, wait a minute, I'm okay. Hungry over here. Is the steak fully cooked or is it medium rare?
It's medium rare. You know we got to have a medium rare. I like a good look. Maybe even a medium, just depending. I don't want like a lot of blood, but I want a good look. Just a little pinkness in the middle. Come on, boo.
That's the best, baby. That's how you eat a steak. I don't care. Y'all
come on.
Fight me about it. I love
okay, like people that. Eat. The ones who eat the steak that turn into the leather, mm-hmm. they turn it. They're well done and mid-well. Mm-hmm. We ain't got no time.
Mm-mm. No time at all, baby. Go put that plate over there. I just take that.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
Yes. Okay. So let's get into it. What is one of your favorite songs, like, that you've done? Now, I know you gave me one, which was...
Yeah. That Fire.
Why?
That Fire. it is what the song just says. It's fire.
Yeah.
It's fire. It's fire. Straight up fire. And I really enjoy it. The visualization for the songs. If you see, I'll state it this way. I was raised in the church. I went to church Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, every week, choir rehearsal, everything else that you can think of. I was there. Dinners, making dinners, doing this, doing that, doing this. And as I got older, I began to do sound for churches and audio and visual for different churches. And I fell in love with making visual pictures. And even though the song That Fire does not have a video yet, it is coming. It is coming. It is in the workings. Okay. Things are in the workings. I've been talking to people and getting things lined up for the new year, coming into the new year. So hopefully we'll have that.
Okay.
But That Fire is the visual pictures that I speak about in the songs. You can definitely visualize them in your own head. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I like or really, really, really enjoy that song. There's also another one called Dominion. It's epic. It's epic. I mean, the song itself has a vast instrumentation. From strings to freaking brass to woodwinds, everything that you can possibly think about is in that song. It has a little techno vibe, just depending on which one, because there was two of them. There's a skate mix and then there's a regular mix. So if you want to check it out, please do. I'm on all platforms, and if you want to check out my Spotify, or if you want to check out Apple iTunes, I would greatly appreciate it. Just make sure that you put in the D. If you don't put in the D, you will not get me. Okay. You will get another Corey McKnight. There are a few others out there in the world. But I am the Corey D. McKnight.
Okay. And if you can, Corey, spell it for them so they know. You know, some people, they spell Corey different. They, you know
how it goes. Oh, yeah, that's true. You're right. It's C-O-R-E-Y-D, as in David, McKnight, McKnight. Yeah.
Okay. So make sure you guys.
We're doing that.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you guys go and check him out. Okay. And listen to those songs. It's very different and yet inspiring at the same time. And
yes.
You have such a great voice, Corey. But you
are. I appreciate
you. Already knew that. So let me ask you this: when did you write your first song?
Wow. I would say around 2006. And the crazy thing about that, I'm glad you asked this question. I used to have this Casio keyboard, and you could record in the keyboard itself. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay, let me see. And I started fumbling around with it and playing with it and getting it, learning how to use the actual instrument itself. And I didn't know what I was doing. But all I knew, I was pressing these keys and I was getting this music and things were starting to sound really, really, really great. So I would say about 2006, 2005, that I went to the Florida School of Sound and Technology in 2012. And it's a recording school for recording engineering. I have a certificate, technical certificate for that. So I definitely enjoy writing my music, and everything that you hear on my tracks is done by me. The only song my very first song that I released, out into the world was called Orlando Strong, which was concerning the 49 people that died at the Pulse tragedy in Orlando back in 2012, I think it was. Yeah, 2012. Some mass murder at the club, the gay club in Florida. And it was tragic because I woke up that morning and I walked in and I was talking to my dad. I was like, what's going on? And I looked at the TV and I saw all the red lights and all the cameras and all the CNN and everything. He's like, there's been a shooting and 49 people died. And the Orlando Strong song was like very pivotal because it was close to my heart. I actually had never, ever been to the club, but I did drive by it every once in a while. I would see people outside. I never stopped by and engaged with those people. But I wrote the song because it hit home with me. It had to deal with a hate crime because those people were family of the LGBTQIA, and it hurt. It hurt to see and feel the immense pain that was going on during that moment. And then seeing the replay of the people coming out with blood all over them and walking out and carrying other people and hearing the torment and scaredness of their voices and all the different aspects of the things that were going on in that instant, it really struck a nerve. And that same day, I ended up writing the song. I played it, I wrote it out, put it out, and I went to a studio in Florida when I was there. And I recorded the song, but I had to redo the music. So I ended up letting someone else help me in that process. And he did an amazing job. I really, really, really enjoy the piece as it has come out. I'm hopefully going to plan on doing a remix of that song. And hopefully, because they've been waiting to do the inauguration of the Pulse Foundation in Florida. And it's been on hold for so many years. And I really wish that they would speed that up just a little bit so they could recognize and memorialize the 49 people that were killed in that tragic accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate
that. What you think?
Yeah, no, I'm just like, you know, listening to you, and you're such a good storyteller because the way you speak, you can visualize exactly what you talk about. And it's crazy because I do somewhat remember a little bit of that happening because that was such a big thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I just hate that this world is all about judging this and judging that. And it's like, for what? Let people live their lives. Why do you care so much that you got to be so evil to do the things that you do? And it's not even just targeting, you know, the LGBTQ.
TQIA.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't say
all that.
All of that, okay. And I love all of that. I have friends and family that is a part of that community as well. So definitely no judgment zone here. I don't judge anyway. That's just, yeah, I don't have a judgment bone nowhere near my body. Like, as long as you're good with me. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah. But it's so much hate out here in the world, and it's targeted towards that community. It's targeted towards little children when you gotta, you know, see mass shootings at schools, when you know it's targeted towards, you know, just different crimes. It's hate. The hate is real. You know what I'm saying? Evil is real. And I don't think I think a lot of people have woke up and was like, okay, wow, this is really happening. And you still have some people that are asleep. You know what I'm saying?
Hello.
It's really, really crazy. I mean, especially in times like this now. I mean, we are living in crucial time. Like, the world is so different. It's so not how it used to be back in the day. But that situation, all that was just the startup of what we're seeing now.
Yes, and that's the scary part.
Yeah, it was just the startup.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. So now we are, you know, living in the times where now, shoot, you don't even want to blow your horn at nobody. You don't even want to look at somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you crazy? They going to show you crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Seriously, yeah. So, you know, my mom tell me all the time, stop doing that road race stuff. Cause, you know, but I'm like, oh, but this person pulled out in front of me. I could have hit them. I got my keys in the car. You know, but it's like, you just got to refrain. You just got to be calm. And sometimes you can be minding your business. And they would still just be crazy. And, you know, chasing after your car or trying to pull you off. It's crazy out here. You listen, the safe place for me is inside of my home. That's
okay.
Yeah, that's just being honest. I mean, I really don't like to get out like that. My daughter said, Mom, you never take us nowhere. Well, I do, but at the same time, I don't. If I can find things for us to do at home, that's safe.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And hello.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Yeah, let's go buy some board games. And so we did. And so we're all going to be playing Monopoly. We're going to, you know, watch. I got them into watching scary movies. So we're going to, you know, find a good scary movie and stuff to watch. So, I try to dedicate a lot of time with them. And then, you know, eventually they're like, okay, we're not worried about Mom no more. We're going to go in the room, do X, Y, and Z. But just to, you know, because I get sidetracked. But my kids know about a lot of the things. They know about 9/11. They know. I like to teach my kids as much as I need to. You know, because I don't want them being taught by the world. You know what I'm saying? Because they can lead astray. I'm very upfront with my kids. My kids know about everything. You know what I'm saying? I don't hide them from them. I don't hide my friends that's a part of the LGBTQ, what you say,
TIA.
Yeah, I don't hide my kids from them either, though. So my friends is what it is. I explain to them that, hey, this is like this, that is like that. I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? I want my kids to be how I am, too. You know, you don't judge people for what they choose to be or anything or whatever like that. So, you know, I like to say I'm raising my kids to be on a, you know, positive street, just like your mom. You know.
Okay. Hello.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have,
That's real.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I have very respectful kids. So, it's, you know, they already know what's going on. They know the ropes because I'm going to teach them the ropes. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I guess my very, very, very last. Well, no, this is not the last. This is, I want this question to be the last, but let me just add in this. When will the people be able to hear? Because you're coming out with a new single, right?
Yes. And it's coming out on the 29th. The 29th of this month. I know it's probably an odd day. I think it's a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But it is the 29th of this month. Mm-hmm. It's just a single. And the name is No Fear. And that's the name of the single. I'm planning on shooting the video after the release of the song. So it should be coming out sometime in January. And, I'm definitely stoked about this one because it's not your norm. It's not your norm at all. It's because my music, I consider my music, spiritual.
Yeah.
I don't want to consider it Christian, if you will, because it's spiritual music. I believe that we are spirits having a human experience.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people think my viewpoint on a lot of things right now in my life has definitely taken a shift. And now the Bible, and I don't know how this is going to come across, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. The Bible tells us that we are spirits, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And with that said, if we are spirit and God is spirit, why do we consider ourselves Christian? Because that would be a religion. And that came to me like this morning. And I'm just like, why do we sit up here and we call ourselves Christians, but Christ wasn't even a Christian? Yeah. He wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew. And that, I'm just like, it floors me to think that everything that the Christians, they ostracize and demonize things that have to do with people's spirituality because they don't understand it. And if you're not what they consider to be Christian, then you're not right. Mm. And I was born and raised in the church. Holiness, Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, all of that. Everything that I'm telling you, that is the realness of my relationship. I have a relationship and my roots are deep with the Lord, with God, with Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, which is an altar, but he is the provider of everything for me. And I cannot consider myself just a Christian. Because that to me makes me feel as if I'm saying everybody else out there is wrong. And I can't do that. I can't do that. Christ came, and I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is a person. He was a human, and he was God. Mm-hmm. I believe that. And ain't nobody going to take that away from me. But I promise you, I believe that Jesus would be with the gays, the lesbians, bisexual, transgender, IA. And he would be with the people that the Christian people today would say that they're wrong. I believe that with everything in me. I believe that he would come and show love on a level that nobody could understand.
Yeah.
And I believe that he is the epitome or the epitome, I just made that word, of love in every aspect. He's everything. He's everything. And this song, No Fear, has all the implements of telling you, don't fear. Be not afraid. Don't fear. Don't look at something on the outside and take what's on the outside for what's on the inside, because you never know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And that's our society now. We look at things on the outside and you say, oh, that's evil. But you don't know what's going on the inside. You don't know that person. You don't know anything about them. And you take for what you see on the outside and you make that your representation of who they are.
Right.
And you don't even know them. So I'm a big person that when it comes down to judging people, don't judge, because you're going to be judged with the same wrath as somebody as you judge that other person. Yeah. So No Fear on November 29th. It's coming. It's coming. And if you want to follow me on socials, it's Corey McKnight on Facebook. And there's a picture of an eye. And it has an ithymus on it. An ithymus is one of the hidden symbols for a Christian back in the day. Like the fish sign, that's what it is. So if you find me on Facebook, it's on there. And my Instagram is McKnight4554 or 4884. It's one of them too. But if you decide to follow me, and I forget, I apologize. I should look it up right now. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Here we go. If you want to follow me and see what's going on, let me see. Here we go. And we're going to go here. I don't see it. Oh, 4885. McKnight4885. I apologize for that, but just put that out there. So November 29th, No Fear will be out at midnight. If you want to download it, I am on all platforms, and I would greatly appreciate it if you just went over and take a listen. My YouTube page should be getting put up soon too, so there's lots of things in the workings. Yeah.
I love that. I really do love it. I'm glad you was able to push yourself. And because I know we talked about this and, you know, just go ahead and push yourself and, you know, go ahead and get your music and stuff out there. Just get back to doing what you love. You know, and I'm right there with you. Everything is definitely going to take place next year. I have a lot that I want to work on as well, too. So I love hearing that. So you guys have definitely heard it from Corey. Make sure you guys follow him on his platform. I will be uploading this beautiful podcast literally soon as you hang up this phone, Corey. So it's, yeah, and just you'll be able to go in and view everything and see everything and listen. This is probably one of my best podcasts I've done in a while, just because people, they like to hear things like this. They like to be motivated. They like to hear people's stories and stuff or whatever. So I love to step out the box every once in a while. I mean, if I can, all the time, really, you know. But I'm glad I was able to, you know, like I said, steal some of your time and just come on here and do this podcast and just really put you out there, you know, and see, it wasn't that bad, you know, it wasn't that bad at all, you know, just be yourself and let it flow.
I got you. I'm glad you didn't hurt me, though. No. I gave you nothing but love, baby. You are nothing but love. I appreciate you so much.
Oh yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And again, Corey, if you can just share with them again where they can find you. I know you said Spotify, you also said Apple Music as well too, right? And they just need to type in
the D. Put the D. Corey space D period McKnight. And you should find me on iTunes or Apple iTunes or whatever it's called. And then Spotify is Corey D. McKnight, everything. I'm trying to get that up. I really don't use Spotify that much.
Okay.
But hopefully that will change. I'm a big Apple iTunes fan.
Okay.
Because I just go and download what I want to listen to and all that crazy zany stuff. And I'm excited. And I thank you all in advance for just taking a listen.
Yes, yes. All right, Corey. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this podcast up. And I am hoping to hear back from you soon.
Sure.
So that we can definitely talk about your thing that you are putting out and just, you know, let us know the experience and, you know, the what made you come up with that name and all kind of stuff. So this will not be the last that you guys will hear from Mr. McKnight, okay? We definitely will come back with another podcast to give you guys a updated version of what has taken place. All right.
Very cool. Very cool. I appreciate you, Angel. You are my angel.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mama.